Welcome to Career Practitioner Conversations. This podcast is presented by the National Career Development Association. Hello, everyone. I'm Melissa Venable, NCDA Director of Professional Development, and I'm here today with Cornelius Thomas, co-chair of the NCDA Annual Poetry and Art Contest. It's National Career Development Month, and he is hosting a conversation about wellness and career success. He is joined today by Reno Palomit, Director of Career and Technical Education with Johnston County, North Carolina's Public Schools, and Meredith Brown, a Career Services Advisor at Rowan College at Burlington County in New Jersey. Thank you all so much for being here. I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Melissa. It's a pleasure to have both Meredith and Reno here today. We're very excited for this topic. It's a really important topic on wellness and career success. Meredith and Reno, I'm going to give each of you an opportunity to briefly introduce yourselves, a little bit of your background. So, Meredith.
Hi, everyone. Cornelius, thank you for putting this together. My name is Meredith Brown. I am a career services advisor here at Rowan College at Burlington County. I am fairly new to higher education. I started back in December, so quickly approaching a year. My career has definitely been nonlinear, which you'll find out shortly.
Yeah, Reno Palomit, happy to be with you all today. So I am the director of career and technical education for a school system that is close to Raleigh, North Carolina. My trajectory, my career path has pretty much stayed within the boundaries of career and technical education. I taught family and consumer sciences at the secondary level and went to the state where I was the program specialist or the state administrator, one of the state administrators for family and consumer sciences. And then I came to Johnston County Public Schools where I was served in a district-wide career development coordinator role before being the career and technical education director.
Well, thank you both. And you both have tremendous, valuable experiences, and we're excited to get to hear about a few of those. Again, the topic for this month is wellness and career success, and it's a very important topic. It's very, very important for individuals to make sure that they're achieving some semblance of balance in those two areas. I think in all of our careers, we can attest to the fact that that balance has been instrumental in seeing us through the path and through our careers and succeeding. And one of the main tenets of the National Career Development Association is that development. And development is just not only a one-track thing in terms of the career, but also as a human and human development. So this is a very exciting topic. Looking forward to beginning this conversation. So I'll start with the first question. First question, and I'll pose it to Reno first to start. When you look at where you are in your career, what strategy have you used to balance between career life and personal life that has helped you reach the position you've reached professionally?
So I'm going to start by answering that question by saying that an expectation of a 50-50 work personal life balance at all points in your career is likely not possible. And so what I would challenge is, or what I would suggest is that it's okay if you have seasons of your professional life where work does play a more significant role in your time and your energy. You know, I think traditionally we all allocate more of our energy, resources, time to work in our 20s and in our, you know, early 30s. Just kind of natural, almost regardless of industry sector. I think that first phase of your career, you're spending a little bit more time and energy allocated towards work. I think the hope and the goal is that you learn strategies over time and you learn boundaries and you learn and maybe you achieve positions or make career changes that allow you to delegate more or build up and skill up others more. That's one of the things that I enjoy a lot in my role is that I have a team, which Cornelius is on my team. And so I enjoy skilling up and training and delegating. And that has allowed me to allocate more of my resources, my personal resources to my personal life. But you know, I think to expect a 50-50 split during your whole career is probably unlikely. And so I think accepting that there's going to be periods of life in your career life where you're going to need to allocate a little bit more time to work. You know, if you have a family, if you have kids, if you're taking care of your parents, you know, those are times where you got to recognize that, you know, I might need to say no more frequently at work, not serve on so many committees or not do some things because I need during this season of my work life, I need to allocate some of my time and energy towards my personal life. I think that's one thing that I've kind of grown to accept. I'm currently working on writing a textbook. So, you know, that has, that's shifted some of my goals and priorities and how I allocate time. I've said no to a lot of things in my personal life and in my work life to be able to allocate time and energy towards working on that book. You know, one thing too, is to also see like, what's the end in sight? Like, what is there a light at the end of the tunnel? What can I get through? You know, can I get through this period knowing that on the other end, I'll be able to reallocate and shift my balance.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. I know there's this phrase that I've been working off of recently, work as hard on yourself as you do on your job. For me, that I know for myself, that's been an area of focus, that balance. And I would agree, it's not 50-50. I think you know that definitely sometimes with me. I love to get the job done personally, but I definitely can see some true value in accepting that fact. And then also understanding like that there will be ebbs and flows of where one, the percentages might lift it one way or the other. And that is, I honestly think that might be the best approach to it all in terms of the sanity that you want to have in terms of, you don't want to have that conscious of, am I doing my best? So definitely agree with that. That's a great, great perspective, Reno. Meredith, what do you think?
So I'm going to tap into self-care and my routine for sure. Mm. I want to make it known that everybody's routine is going to look different. So whether it be listening to your favorite song, just taking time out of your day is very, very important. So what I do is I definitely invest in a healthy, consistent routine by establishing the 5 a.m. routine. People think I'm crazy, but it works. Since my role is energetically demanding, it is important for me to practice my self-care, which is why I have the 5 a.m. routine. My day starts off by waking up at 4:30 in the morning. I say a quick 5-minute prayer. I get to the gym by 5 a.m. for an hour workout. I shower. I fill out my gratitude journal, create my to-dos for the day, and make it to work all by 9 a.m. There's so many things you can get done by that time. Now, this is my routine. It's my sanctuary. It's a time for me to be still and to best prepare to put positive vibrations out into the universe. This allows me to not only be at my best self for the day, but to be a positive force for others. The beauty of this all is I am able to integrate these practices into my professional role. I share these strategies not only with myself, but with my students, offering them insights into cultivating their best selves as they're young professionals and they're starting out. So from goal tracking in journals to fostering positive self-talk and affirmations, creating action plans for their aspirations, and emphasizing the importance of career wellness, I am able to equip students with tools that go beyond the academic realm. So overall, by sharing my own experiences, my goal and hope is to inspire and empower them to navigate the challenges of both their academic and professional journeys.
Well, I think I love that 5 a.m. routine, the consistency, the discipline of it. It sounds great. And so I definitely think that that'll be valuable to a lot of listeners to think about incorporating. I know health, big part of health is that exercise And it doesn't have to be always in the gym, but just a regular movement of some form. It could be a walk. It could be some steps in the house. So that wellness implementation at the beginning of the day, I think is a spectacular approach for anyone that's looking to achieve some type of balance. It's starting with the health in the day and then going to the wealth in terms of the career, hopefully making that money. And then there's even opportunities at night. I know with my son, he does his 150 push-ups every night, and I do my 500 crunches. I know it doesn't look like that all the time physically, but I do it. So I know consistency and that discipline is apparent in my life. So I definitely think that that's really cool to start that day early with a health perspective, and potentially end it in the day as well with a health perspective. So that's really cool. Really like that. All right, next question. And I'll start with Meredith this time. Many will be listening to this podcast for advice on their career development journey. So what is your like mantra or phrase that keeps you centered and not leaning one way or the other too heavily at any one point?
All right, so great question. I'm very, very big into quotes. Mm-hmm. The whole wall is filled of quotes at work. So the first quote that immediately comes to mind is Maya Angelou's famous quote. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel, is my mantra. Every morning I wake up, meeting new students and being able to help them reach their fullest potential is one of my favorite parts of my career. A huge part of my role is creating a warm, empathetic, safe, welcoming, and friendly space. My students may not remember every word that comes out of my mouth, but I can confidently say that they have me as a safe space in their life, and I create a great rapport with my students to where they do feel comfortable reaching out to me. I allow my students to be heard and to know that they are not alone from the beginning all the way to the end of my appointment. I make it a point to acknowledge their academic and career journey, but I also make a point to influence students on the level of their own emotions. For some of our students, their home life is not ideal. Many of them don't have support from their parents, or they live by themselves. It can feel very isolating, especially at a community college. Mm. So I can't fathom not giving a student the time of day. So for me, it goes back all the way to Maya Angelou's quote, "People remember how you make them feel." So I listen actively and intentionally. And when you create that warm, welcoming environment, students are more inclined to feel comfortable to speak to you. So I continue to make it known that I am their support system who will cheer them on throughout their career and academic journey. I cheer them on at graduation. I'm an open door for them anytime they are on campus and need professional career advising and accountability follow-ups. Lastly, one more point, I believe in treating others the way I would want to be treated, and that it never hurts to be kind, because you never know the shoes the students walk in. Receiving success stories in my inbox and watching students grow through time is also what definitely keeps me centered. This is what fuels my drive, and if I can continue this impact, then for me, it's a job fulfilled every day that I get to go home.
That sounds amazing. So the focus is how you make people feel. That focus is the key, I think, in your phrase and your focus as you go through. Yeah. Reno, what do you got?
I aspire to Meredith's warmth. And I'm wondering if this was intentional that you selected me to be the counterpoint to Meredith. Because I'm a little more I'm a little bit more, I guess, strict in my boundaries. You know, one of the mantras that I've relatively recently come across is from Brené Brown. I'm sure you know Brené Brown.
Yes.
Shaking her head. Yes. One of my favorite quotes, and I think I've been maybe practicing this before I even came upon her quote, but now that I know her quote, it's like more intentional, which is choose discomfort over resentment. So it is uncomfortable to tell somebody no, that you're not going to do something, or that you don't have time for that, or that you're not going to take on that extra project or that extra task. We don't, and that can also be in the personal life as well. You know, it can be difficult to say, no, I'm not, you know, participating in this season's fundraiser, school fundraiser for what, you know, XYZ. But in that moment, you can choose discomfort and accept the discomfort. And over time, that discomfort may lessen. But the alternative of that is that you're going to be resentful. So if I do say yes, then I'm going to resent the person, the work, the organization. And I'm going to harbor that resentment because later on, when I'm having to meet that deadline that I voluntarily took on or to complete that task that I voluntarily took on, then like I'm going to be filled with resentment. And that's, you know, that's stress, that's anxiety. And so if I choose discomfort in the moment, I can handle a little bit of discomfort by telling somebody no, or not meeting their expectations. And I can save myself a ton of stress and resentment that would have developed later. So that's one of my mantras is choose discomfort over resentment. Another mantra, and I don't know that I have it framed in like a short little fun mantra, is just I frequently remind myself that I am not going to meet everyone's expectations of me. We have built a society, a culture, especially a Western culture and an American society that with technology and with the level of communication that's available, it has created a situation where there's no way you're going to meet everybody's expectations. And so if you can stop, so for me, you know, I kind of let that go. It was such a relief to just accept that I'm never going to be able to meet everyone's expectations of me. In my role as a CTE director, you know, we have 200 CTE staff members in our school district. I have a team of 8 that I work with directly at the central office building that are my team. I work with colleagues in other departments within our broader curriculum and instruction department. So prioritizing needs, I prioritize my initial team, my team that my direct reports. And if I can prioritize them, then the hope is that they can support those teachers and staff members that are in the schools. Then prioritizing our school-based staff, then prioritizing staff in other departments, then prioritize, you know, and so just thinking that through about who do I care the most about meeting their expectations. And so for me, I want to meet my team's expectations first, but always understanding that I can never meet everyone's expectations and I will fall short. And that's okay. I didn't build the society that we live in where we all work 5 days a week, 40 hours. I didn't build the society where we're almost always accessible on cell phones or tablets or computers. And yeah. I don't have to live up to that, to those expectations. And if somebody has those expectations of me, then that's an opportunity to set a boundary. So for example, I typically will only respond to text messages from my team after work hours. If even supervisors text me after work, I tend not to reply and respond the next morning via email. Who gets my cell phone number? Anybody I give my cell phone number to, I explain that this is for emergency only. And that, you know, this is a privilege that I'm giving you this cell phone number. My team knows not to just give out my cell phone number. So there's things like that that we do to set boundaries around work and around personal life as well. Those are two things those are two mantras, which would be choosing discomfort over resentment and accepting that you're not going to meet everyone's expectations of you.
Well, I can say for sure, I appreciate the sincerity there. Just so you all know, this is definitely true. So I live this, and I've also learned from it as well. I call it vitamin N. That's that concept of vitamin no, saying no. Make sure you take it every day so that you can stay healthy and not resentful. I definitely think that this is great content because I know that there are people out there in their career in their career path, and they need to hear that. They need to hear the truth there, because They can overextend themselves, and in overextending themselves, they can also delay their progression. They can run into challenges, and sometimes those will build them. But this is definitely impactful content that you're both presenting. Two perspectives, but both, I think, help people achieve balance in that quest for career development and career success. And so our last question, what was the defining moment where you realized the importance of balance in your career?
I'm going to say that it was when I was a teacher and I taught culinary arts. You know, I said I was a family and consumer sciences teacher and I taught culinary arts. And I was also working on my master's degree at the same time. And I was also working a part-time job to make ends meet. And that culminated in, I think, a moment of a hard realization that I was not going to be able to sustain this level of this balance long-term, that there needed to be some shifting of and a rebalancing. So, you know, I think that that was probably a defining moment. You know, but I also think, again, like that's that early 20s, that's getting your graduate degree, that's working, like that's part and par for the course in your 20s that you're going to experience things like that. I mean, I talk to so many people who think back to when they were younger, first starting out in their career. And one of the things that I consistently hear is like, I have no idea how I did all of that. And that was one of those moments for me, like, looking back on that time in my life, I have no idea how I did all that I did when I was doing it. I certainly don't have the energy, the bandwidth, or the desire to do that now. and that's okay. So I think that was a pretty critical moment. I'll share too that in my late 20s, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And so there was a year there where I was having multiple surgeries and treatments for getting rid of the thyroid cancer. And that also served as a pivotal moment of kind of realizing, and I think that's probably the time where I realized I couldn't meet everyone's expectations. At that time, I was working at the State Department of Education, the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. And in that role, you know, I'm serving that 1,000 plus teachers across the state, 115 school districts in North Carolina. And I think dealing with that and fighting that and directing energy and resources and time and energy toward that thyroid cancer battle was helpful and eye-opening that I couldn't meet everyone's expectations. And that was okay that I couldn't. So that's probably where that kind of started or initiated. I know I'm sharing like three defining moments, but I do think that there were kind of three for me. So it was that one, this one, and then I would say the third one that I'm getting into now, and since I've been in this role as CTE director, is really trying to think through workplace communication and what is effective and efficient workplace communication. I was listening to NPR recently, and they had a little coverage about just how much we rely on email communication and how we've made ourselves accessible almost 24/7. And if it's not email, then it's a chat like, you know, like Google Chat or Slack. And so we have these chat things at work now. We have Teams rooms where we can have a discussion board, and we have email and we have phone call. And so I think that, you know, one of the boundaries that I set when I became CTE director of the team was to try to avoid sending emails after hours. And Cornelius, you know, this is something that I worked with you on, if you don't mind me sharing, was, you know, I always tell my team, you know, it's your decision if you choose to work after hours, but know that that's never an expectation of mine, except for the rare occurrence that there's an event or something. Obviously, working in a school system, there's occasionally evening events, board meetings, events at school that happen in the evening, and those are a little different. But in general, it's never my expectation that you work at night. And to protect everybody else's balance, if you do work at night or on the weekend, and that's your choice to do that, then schedule your emails to come out at the next business day, the morning of the next business day, so that I'm not getting pinged on of emails that are ending in the evening, because that's disruptive to my personal time in the evening. So that's one boundary that I've set. in that NPR article, they talked about another strategy that I'm looking to implement, which is that there's no internal emails. So within our internal team, we will not use email with each other. We will use Google Chat or our Google team to communicate between each other to try to limit that inbox that feels like it's always a challenge to stay on top of. If that's one, I think that's one place we can start as a department.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds sounds great. And I think those three moments that you've expressed it makes it very real in terms of thinking about the importance of balance, the strategies that you've thought about, and I have tried my best to follow suit with scheduling emails. I've even scheduled, I'll let you know, I've scheduled some retirement thank yous to some of our teachers in advance that I know are retiring. I've scheduled them. And I think learning those strategies, learning some of those things, and hearing about your experiences in terms of what has influenced your balance, I think is going to be really, really valuable to our listeners. So thank you.
Cornelius, I also want to share too that, and I think more people are getting on board with this notion, but we need to stop kind of celebrating perfectionism or being proud of being a perfectionist. Mm. I think in that first lesson, a lot of what I learned was the toxicity or the the neurotic aspects of perfectionism. Mm. You know, when you're trying to get that validation from others of something being perfect. And I don't, you know, I there's been more discourse around that, but I would just suggest as well, if you can let go of the idea that you have to be perfect or that everything you work on, the result has to be perfection, that is hugely impactful to achieving balance, is if you can let go of that need or that desire to be perfect.
I very much agree. Meredith, what was your defining moment?
Love the answers from both of you, but I'm going to touch on some stuff that you guys have mentioned. I would say for me, it's the transition from being a student to a newer professional. Throughout undergrad, even all the way up to graduation, post-graduation, I've had so many fears, doubts. Life felt kind of isolating at times because here you are, you're getting ready to graduate college, and it's like there's no manual. There's no, you know, how to survive the workplace, et cetera. So I definitely dealt with my own self-doubts, imposter syndrome, all kinds of fears. But if it wasn't for my current director, she actually is the story behind the reason why I'm here today. So real quick, Cornelius, you asked me in the beginning of the call to describe my background. Still trying to figure that out, how to think about it. I am nonlinear. I was all over the place. I started off with being a nursing student here actually at the college I work at. Mm-hmm. And then life got in the way, the pandemic got in the way. Mm-hmm. So then the next semester, I transitioned to communications. And then post-graduation, I was working for the county for a while. Even throughout school, I worked at the American Job Center, helping people become employed again, Workforce Development Board. And then post-graduation, I worked for the Board of Commissioners. But short story short, my happiness and my heart was not fulfilled, because I know me personally, I am satisfied by helping people and by changing other people's lives, no matter how big or small. So for me, it was full circle. Here I am back at the college I went to. I went there for, it took me 6 years to graduate, but okay, figured it out. Lisa Cardello, she's my executive director. She's also part of NCDA. She's been a great mentor for me. So now I want to get into the strategies / lessons, especially for those who maybe are just starting out in their field and, you know, they're newer to higher education or their careers. So Reflecting on this journey has offered me definitely a whole perspective in my life and career. So for one, it taught me that there is truly no manual, as I said earlier, on perfecting your career. It takes a few trials and errors to get to where you want to be. But along this career journey, I have understood the importance of occasional breaks for recharging. And it goes along the lines of what you guys were saying earlier about, you know, trying to be perfect and feeling like you have to work all hours of the night to get to where you want to be. I've learned that, you know, stop, take a night or two off or a day and just be kind to yourself. The work will get done. You just have to, you know, stay in tune with yourself or else your mental health can degrade. And it's happened to me. Sometimes I take on more than I can handle. But, you know, I guess it's the starting out phase. But so throughout school, when I worked 2 to 3 jobs, and even now where I don't sit still, I'm starting to learn that there is only one you, like I said, and we have to do the best we can to take care of ourselves. Though at times transitioning between careers made me feel like I was lagging behind, I've come to understand that there is no fixed timeline for personal and professional growth. It's never too early, which I learned, or too late to begin. And being kind to myself professionally has helped me best achieve that healthy balance. So overall, while I remain steadfast in my career goals, I have many, many aspirations, but I've embraced the need for healthy boundaries and the practice of career wellness. I can't express that enough. So whether it be taking time to declutter your desk, reorganize your to-do lists, not answer emails when you're off the clock, and even setting some time allows to work on your professional development. These are all pieces of advice that I would offer to anybody to really work on their career wellness.
Thank you. And I'm going to take your advice in a few minutes and declutter my desk. Reno knows that's a big, big issue for me at times because I continue to go, go, go. And so I am going to be one of your most immediate understudies, the both of you, in terms of maybe applying some of the tactics and strategy and using some of those insights that you've had in terms of implementing them to become a better professional, I think, overall, a more well-rounded professional. And I think that's a goal that we all need to pursue and search and work towards, definitely. So I want to thank the both of you today for coming in, Reno. Just want to say you're a tremendous boss, but you're also a tremendous human. So we appreciate you in every way coming in today to spend this time with us. And I know that there are going to be a number of people that are going to be strongly impacted by words, the sentiments, the thoughts that you shared with us today. Meredith, I'm looking forward to working alongside you. And I'm grateful for your presence today and your perspective today. It's also going to be equally impactful. We have a lot of young professionals that are on that trajectory that you're on. From what I can say, from what you said, keep going is the mentality. And do not judge yourself. Continue to work in your own way and be satisfied with that progression. I think that's a great message to send to all of our members. I want to thank you both today. I want to thank all the listeners today. And thank you, Meredith. Thank you, Reno. Thank you, NCDA. And everyone, have a great day.